This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I need to feel better about the Cavs. So why not bring in a guy like Justin Termini? SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA Today in the afternoons. He's with Eddie Johnson. Joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline to talk about this terrible loss last night, which is one of the worst I've ever seen. Justin Termini joins us right now. Hello.
How you doing? I could make you feel better about your life if you want to compare lives, but if you want to talk basketball, I don't know if I can make you feel better about what you saw last night. That was horrific.
Well, who is more overrated right now since the fans were chanting overrated at Halliburton? Is it the Cavs, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Boston Celtics, the Minnesota Timberwolves? What is happening? Where is all this carnage coming from in the NBA?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of love it, but I guess if I have to rank those three, at least Cleveland's got some excuses with some injuries. At least Boston had the excuse with Kristaps Porzingis, getting sick, and at least Boston's done it before. Oklahoma City's 100% healthy, and Oklahoma City won 68 games. So I Sam Presti won Executive of the Year. So I guess, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP, yet he's shooting like 40%. So I guess I would say OKC. Not that I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but I would throw OKC out there.
What do you feel about the definition of soft being thrown against a basketball team?
If they deserve it, do you think that Cleveland deserves it? Now, I would
after last night, a lot of people are saying that the guys out are soft, and I go, I'm not going to sit there. I'm not in their bodies. I'm not around them. I'm not going to accuse them of that.
That's a good point. I won't go full blown
right
soft on that, but I will say that Kevin McHale did play an entire postseason with a broken foot when he already had 3 championships, and Darius Garland's got a sprained toe. Now again, I don't know what the repercussions are of going out there and playing. Maybe you hurt some other part of the body, etc. But a sprained toe that's not broken, or a actual broken foot when you've already had 3 championships. So maybe it's just an era, and that's something where like everybody would sit out with the sprained toe right now. But Darius Garland can't throw on a uniform and take a foul shot at the end of a game as a 90% free throw shooter if you need to inbound the ball to somebody. Like, is there a reason he can't throw a uniform on and do something like that? I won't even say he's got to go out there and play 10 minutes, 20 minutes, etc. How about throwing a uniform on and taking a free throw at the end of the game if your team needs you in a spot like that? Is that something that
he's got to go out there and he's got to get fouled?
I was sitting next to Austin Carr yesterday on the post game, and Boobie Gibson. Why not put a uniform on them and have them step up and shoot a free throw at the end? What are you talking
Gibson
about?
Was a
You're not
going to
put a
shooter.
Guy in the at the end of the game, Justin Termini, who hasn't touched the floor, and just have him shoot a free throw there. Come on.
Wait, so Kevin McHale can play an entire
game? If you want to sit there and bring up Kevin McHale and the Chief and everybody else, I don't know.
You can't put a uniform on to take a...
I didn't know we were going to sit there and debate the George Mikan flu game. I didn't understand we were going to do that, Justin.
Well, I mean, you asked me if they were soft or not as your first question.
Actually, I asked you what your definition of soft was, so I could kind of narrow it down.
Well, Dave Collins and Bill Charmin, get them in there, throw a uniform on them.
Justin,
you two are soft. Right?
I called him soft. I'm not soft. Well, I called him soft, but I didn't call the guys on the bench soft. I figured it's the playoffs. If they can't go, they can't go. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'll ask the callers about that later. But let me tell you this. When you're up by 20 and you let that lead go away, because it really looked like, hey, it wasn't like all of a sudden you went cold. I just feel they got tight and they were nervous and they were afraid to lose, except for Donovan. I thought Donovan played his ass off. But I thought everybody else got tight. I did, and it's going, man, that's – for professionals, that's soft.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, Kenny Atkinson did say that they ran out of gas, right? And I was actually going nuts about this even before the loss when Donovan Mitchell kind of looked tired after game one, right? Now, there's no criticism against Donovan Mitchell. He was awesome last night. He had the game of his career. But he played, 36 minutes? And again, he's got to carry the massive load for the team because everybody else is out. But he didn't play 45 minutes. He didn't play 46. And all season long, like, you rested these guys so they would be fresh, right? And Kenny Atkinson got a lot of credit for that, and he did a fantastic job this year. But he got a lot of credit for resting these guys so they would be fresh, capable of playing huge minutes when you get to this point. Meanwhile, Tom Thibodeau spent the last, 10 years getting ripped for playing his guys too much. They're capable of going out there playing 51, 46, 45 in game one. They look fresh as daisies. Oh, well, why is that? Well, in my opinion, it's because Thibodeau got his players ready all season long to play big minutes. They know what it's like to feel that 42nd minute, that 43rd, that 45th, et cetera, whereas the Cavs spent all season resting, so they didn't break that barrier where they know what it feels like to play the 40th minute, the 41st, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe that's one of the reasons they're fatigued. Kenny Atkinson said he should have played some of the other guys more minutes. I think it should have been less. Do we really need 29 minutes out of Isaac Okoro? I would say no.
Yeah, the problem they're stuck in now is this team that was so deep all season because of these injuries and happening at the absolute worst time before game two is that who else do you even trust? I mean, all season it was, oh, Cavs are playing 10 guys, 11 guys, and they're going to do that in the playoffs. Easier said than done. When you get out there and you're looking up and down, you're like, who am I supposed to, what, Amani Bates I'm supposed to play in a game? Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to come off as that soft question because I'm just alluding to something you could possibly accuse Darius Garland of, right? If you want to stretch it a little bit. Ultimately, it just comes down to bad luck, and that's been the story throughout NBA history, where at times you run into bad luck and teams that ultimately are healthy throughout a playoff run end up winning a championship, and three guys going down that are key members of the rotation, that's just horrific luck. Last year, Boston had the one guy, Porzingis. Porzingis got hurt. They were able to overcome it. There's a difference between Kristaps Porzingis and then, three guys.
Justin Termini joining us right now on the hotline. So Ty Jerome, the talk after the final two games of the Miami series is, oh, are some other teams going to open up cap space and throw starter money? Are the Cavs going to lose Ty Jerome? And Jerome, in the first two games of this series, has played the worst basketball of his career. He's 1 of 14 yesterday. And that doesn't even begin to describe how panicky he was with the basketball, how loose he was. He had no confidence dribbling or shooting. What happened to Ty Jerome?
Yeah, I mean, a team will pay him. He had a really good season. But sometimes it's the nerves. As you guys mentioned, they looked a little tight. Sometimes it's just playoff basketball where guys, are going over the scouting report and they're, focusing in on you a little bit. I mean, listen, we've seen great players that take the big step backwards. Guys like James Harden, right, who can't handle it because you have the, Bob Myers had a quote a couple of years ago where he said it's a completely different sport. And I think it looks like a completely different sport, right? You got the freedom of movement where Ty Jerome can do whatever he wants during the regular season. Then you go to the postseason, you get handsy and, it's a lot more physical. So it's almost like a completely different sport.
Justin Termini joining us here on the show. So what do the Cavs got to do to get back in this series?
Well, I mean, one, they have to get healthy, right? I would say that's probably the big key. It's good for them that they have 2 days off because they're going to continue to need, I would think, epic performances from Donovan Mitchell. But if you can't win when Mitchell, scores 48 points, shoots 50% from the field, goes to the free throw line 21 times, and you can't win at home under those circumstances, I don't see how you're going to be able to win on the road. You build a 20-point lead. I don't see how you're going to be able to win on the road, especially against one of the few teams that actually is healthy. And even if Cleveland was healthy, Indiana's a team that's got just as much depth. Listen, I thought Indiana could win this series even with everybody healthy. That's how good Indiana is. They had the fourth best record in the NBA the last 4 months of the season. So I thought, like, heading into the postseason, you guys know that I'm a Celtic fan. I thought Boston, even though Boston's down 1-0 themselves, I thought Boston lucked out because I thought, hey, you'd rather face New York than Indiana. Indiana, in my estimation, a better team than the Knicks. So it's not going to be easy. I thought even if both sides were 100% healthy, Indiana had a shot.
If this doesn't go our way, what happens with this team? What happens with this roster?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But to win 64 games and not win has got to be a massive disappointment, right? I mean, I don't think anything happens to your core four there with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. But, you know, you got to pay Ty Jerome. You're talking about other teams maybe stealing him. Do you want to invest a ton of money in him now after what you've seen the last 2 days?
I don't know if they can afford it, regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I know that was a conversation even prior to that. So you're obviously, you lose him, as much as fans are probably frustrated with him here over the last couple of days. That's still a big loss. He was a huge part of what you did. Like, one of the reasons you had so much success was the depth.
Justin Termini with us. So there were two what looked to be blatant lane violations in the last minute. I've never talked about lane violations before in the NBA. It just... Cavs had the lead, and if either of those are called, they win the game, most likely. Is that something Cavs fans can talk about, or is that just too trivial at this stage? You're not going to get those in a big playoff game.
Yeah, I think it's a little trivial, and you know, I think we've seen them called in the past. There was one called in that Celtics-Knicks game yesterday, or 2 days ago, I believe, when Peyton Pritchard was at the line. Now, it wasn't in that same spot where we're at the end of the game. But I would just say this, like, yeah, you can complain about those, and I understand fans' frustration. Like, on the flip side, and I'm not trying to get everybody to, like, hate me in Cleveland, but, you know, there was a Donovan Mitchell elbow, which I wouldn't want to see called in that spot, but that's something, like, where maybe you can say that it was a flagrant. Again, I wouldn't want it called in that spot, but they caught a little bit of a break there based off the rule book. And then the second one is when you had that dunk, right, at the end, I think by who was it? Neesmith. You know, Donovan Mitchell probably did undercut him there. And, you know, again, maybe a lane violation. But if you're not going to call the lane violation and then Neesmith gets the dunk, you probably then have to call the foul on Donovan Mitchell, which they didn't do. So they caught some breaks along the way there in the final 2 minutes as well.
Well, it's odd to me because, hey, I'm okay with it getting physical in the postseason, and I got other reasons that I can't share with you right now. I will later in the show, and I already did earlier this week. But you know, it's very odd where you're calling everything during the year, and now it's kind of made up to the moment of what you want to pay attention to and what you don't if you're a ref. Like, Tony Brothers is on camera a bunch in the last 45 minutes of that game yesterday, and it's almost like he's making it up as he goes. It gives the crew a bad look.
Yeah, no, I agree that it's frustrating to watch something all season and then it gets changed. Now, I would prefer this style. Like, I think everybody out there likes the physicality of the postseason, you know, unless it's impacting your team in a negative way. But it makes for a better product if we just did this nonstop, because these games are so competitive. Physicality gives you a sense that the guys care a little bit more. Now, I will say this, like, you guys just, or kind of getting, I think it was bad to play Miami in the first round, right? Because all these other, essentially every other team that advanced played a real team, played a team that was being physical, played a team that was trying. Like, you know, Orlando ends up losing their series 4-1, but Orlando committed some hard fouls along the way. Orlando was playing hard. Orlando was playing physical. So it kind of got you ready for what was to come. New York, Detroit. Detroit, they lost, in 6 games, but Detroit played hard. Detroit was physical with New York, so it kind of woke them up, like jumping into a cold pool, so they knew what to anticipate in round two. The same thing with Indiana. Like, Indiana won in 5 games, but they played a physical series against a team that cared and was committing hard fouls and was really being rough. Meanwhile, the Cavs play a Heat team that just rolled over and died immediately in game one. I don't think that did them any favors. Like, Kenny Atkinson was complaining about the physicality. Yeah, it was physical for Cleveland here in the second round, but everybody else was experiencing that in the first round where they were dealing with those hard fouls and the extra physicality.
Justin Termini, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Are you picking the Pacers to win this series now?
Yeah, because I thought it was close at the outset, and I think you have to, or wouldn't you, if you're down 2-0, and now, like, it's even worse. If Cleveland went to Indiana and they lost the first two games, all right, well, you say they're going back home, you know, et cetera. You got a little bit more confidence, and on top of that, they're just not healthy. So I think you'd be an idiot. Like, can Cleveland win? Yes, but I think you'd be an idiot with them in this predicament to now pick them.
All right, Justin, thank you very much for the time. I hope you have a wonderful day.
No, thank you, and good luck recovering. I know it's got to be miserable to be in that city today. So,
I will pick up the pieces some way, somehow. Thank you. Justin Termini on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I am not in a good mood, no.
That shot out the door.
I don't think he was taking a shot at the city. I think he was just saying it's a bad feeling. We lost in a terrible fashion last night. We're up by 7 with 40 seconds left to go. It was a 7-point game. It was a 3-possession game. Then we lost.
Do you put that up there with...
Yeah. Whatever, yeah. I don't know. Just don't name the damn thing. Please don't name it. Don't stop naming these failures. Stop it. It's not anything...
Well, how do you reference them then?
You don't. You just move
but
on with your life.
It's a nameable game.
You just move on with your life.
Yes. What would it be called, though?
No, don't name it. I'm dead ass serious. Don't be naming things. 216-474-0092.
Open up the phones. 216-474-0092.
There's been a bunch of collapses. I'm not taking any calls on that, I swear.
The lane violation.
Then you're going to have to take over the phones because I'm not going to do it. That's the coming in hotline. Some guy just did that.
That was
on the Odyssey app.
So specific with the apparel.
Did he say jorts?
Jorts.
You ain't winning games if you're wearing jorts.
Yeah, it's Perry Ellis underwear on.
Last team to wear jorts and win anything were the Florida Gators.
United Colors of Benetton.
I got Garland and jorts.
Urban's Gators, not the last basketball champions. I'm talking about Urban's Gators. They wore jorts.
Evan in a white Jordache jean jacket. Hunter in a Hanes sweatsuit.
Sounds like the lady doing the fashion show in Slapshot.
Laughing and joking like the Three Stooges while Mitchell is out there dying.
They should play that on the Jumbotron and just so he can get like Tristan Thompson or someone to go, whoop, 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 whoop.
I mean, maybe they were entertained. They thought they were going to win the game. They're enjoying
Donovan. Look. Don't even start. It's
put
a bad
the team
look.
On
you
know, it's a bad look.
You think jorts are that bad of a look?
Jorts are a bad look.
Was that what put him over the edge?
I haven't worn jorts. I had a guy, I was in high school, my buddy had a Dodge Stealth, and I got out of the car, and he goes, hey, I go, what? He goes, nice jorts, and all my other buddies in the car started laughing. I took them off, and I haven't worn them since. I was 16 years old. I am 38 now, and I've never worn jorts since. Sorry, guys, ain't gonna happen.
Had you been in the real South, not like Stark County South, like the real South, you'd be okay.
I was in the Stark County South, and you could tell that they were talking to each other about it. This is before text, about Kenny and his jorts, and why is he wearing freaking jorts? And then I get out of the car, and he says that, and they all started laughing at me. And I never wore them again.
That could be
stigmatizing. I think I threw them away. Those were Tommy Hilfiger jorts, too.
Oh, with
those cost mom good money.
They have the flag patch on the back?
Yes.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah. I threw them away.
Okay. If you're Kenny Atkinson, are you telling the guys to wear suits and act like Bobby Knightwood with his bench?
Honestly, I think they're not
allowed to make a sound.
You got to know the moment you're in. You got to. In all seriousness, you got to know the moment you're in. The game is tight. You're not there. I know that you want to be in the game. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt as the professional.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That you want to be in the game, but people are questioning you. They've questioned your fight for 3 years. And so for a fan, they're sitting at home watching the game. They're freaking out. We were up by 20. Now the lead is dwindling and getting tighter. And they show the guys on the floor who either you sent nasty tweets about and texts about to your friends, or you held it in because you didn't want to do it. And they're laughing on the bench. And it looks like, well, are we just happy with 64 wins? None of this matters. I'm sorry. There was we were in a game seven. It was fighting for your life. We watched a team fight back from 3-1 against the greatest assembly of talent that we had ever seen, certainly in this generation and probably ever. And now I go from that to, okay, we're going to build this judiciously. We're going to do this the right way. You did it the right way. Now you're laughing on the bench. Meanwhile, Mitchell Robinson laughed at you 2 years ago. Last year, we brought it up with Orlando and Boston, and now here we are against Indiana. The one series you looked dominant in, the other team didn't care. So there's no excuse, man. I can't. It's a bad look. I would say they need to address it. And you can poo-poo it all you want, but you're down. If they were up 2-0 when people were mad, nobody would care. You're down 2-0. And it looks like your season is in serious jeopardy after 64 wins. You know what that does? If you're all back next year, which if they were to lose this series, good God, if they get swept, I mean, we're going to be saying some irresponsible things. If you lose this series, and right now, I think a lot of people think you're going to, that sticks in their head. And they'll use that next year during the regular season. You think some of the people think this regular season didn't matter? Holy wah. You wait until next regular season. Because that sticks with a Cavs fan. And then it just sounds like you want to put your head in the sand. You say, ah, it's no big deal. Because a guy who put my head in the sand before, I know that. I learned my lesson. I tried to say Josh Gordon, Hader Shades, and Corey Coleman was no big deal. It was a big deal. It was stupid. It was really dumb. That was a terrible team. Terrible. This team has talent. This team gets people excited.
Yeah, the problem is
that team was a bunch of idiots. This team actually has some excitement here.
But the issue is the talent's not available right now at the biggest time of the year. And they did everything right all season long. They conserved energy.
And now
they made sure that Donovan Mitchell was not going to be worn out. And then you saw him yesterday. He needed four guys to carry him off the floor at the end of the game.
And maybe it's just frustration, but now you have people who are saying maybe you didn't do it enough. Why can't he play 40 minutes? Why can't he play for, which I, you know, you look at Indiana stats, they didn't have guys playing 45 minutes last night. Tyrese Halliburton, I think, played the same amount of minutes that Donovan did, 36. But when you see that as a fan, you go, I thought this whole thing was to ramp up for the postseason. And it sticks in your head where Joe Vardon said it the other day, hey, they are known as a very conservative team about injuries. Okay, great. We're just going to hold everybody out. When's it going to be a proper time to actually go for it?
Yeah,
that's the way
now,
a lot of fans are going
to
feel.
I'd say now, considering they have to win 4 out of 5 and have to go on the road to get 2 of those
Here's Terme.
Right now.
This was him with us just moments ago talking about, you want to get the Darius Garland or the fatigue thing? And let's get with the Darius Garland first.
I won't go full-blown soft on that, but I will say that, you know, Kevin McHale did play an entire postseason with a broken foot when he already had three championships, and Darius Garland's got a sprained toe. Is there a reason he can't throw a uniform on and do something like that? I won't even say he's got to go out there and play 10 minutes, 20 minutes, etc. How about throwing a uniform on and taking a free throw at the end of the game if your team needs you in a spot like that?
I think that was kind of asinine.
Yeah,
that was an ass. I mean, bringing up Kevin McHale, that's a little insane. Maybe I should be pointing the finger at Darius Garland and Evan Mobley, not Donovan Mitchell. Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. Maybe I should.
Evan Mobley? I mean, it's a high ankle sprain.
I'm just looking at the tweets, man. I'm just looking at the responses last night.
They said he couldn't.
That's all I'm doing. He couldn't even get off the bench. I said it.
They said that he couldn't even put weight on his foot, you know, at the end of game one in the locker room. Like, this could be a big deal.
I don't think he's playing for the rest of the series.
If it's a high ankle
trying to get
sprain,
out there,
that is not.
If he is out, what's wrong?
If he's not going to play for the rest of the series, then I guess. Monday morning,
I thought I did something wrong.
Yeah, you did something wrong.
What?
You really crashed me back to reality I'm still sitting here thinking that 0-2, it's not like it's over. It's going to be hard, but it's not like it's over.
Did you see him trying to get up out of that seat?
If you're telling me Evan Mobley's out, then
did you see him try to get up out of that
over,
seat?
It's over, Ken. Then I'm going to go home.
He was gingerly trying. I'm like, why are you getting up? I know you don't want to be the guy on the bench while everybody else is
then
in the
why
huddle.
Why is he on the bench?
But my,
if he can't even
I'm wondering
stand
the
up.
Same damn thing because he could barely get up
then
out of that
I don't
seat.
Have Yahoo's calling in or tweeting in that he's wearing jorts and gray Jordache and things like that.
When I see that, that's why I'm like, hey, man, I think he'd be out there if he could. The Darius issue, people just hear toe and they're going, well, that's not. I'm going, what? Somebody brought up. They go, Jack Lambert's career ended because of a turf toe injury. Deion Sanders had his toe cut off.
The best athlete I've seen maybe in my life outside of LeBron.
No more little piggy jokes.
But you know what? That's the thing. If it were the pinky, that would be the only thing worse just on paper for fans that want to cling to that stuff.
They went wee, wee, wee all the way to the ice chest.
Where is Thumpkin?
216-474-0092.
Oink, Mr. Garth.
I don't want to sit there and blame guys who weren't on the floor. I believe, but I got people calling every word in the book to Darius Garland here. Now they're coming up with names for the loss and the nickname for him. Peter called him the Sore Four. I'm done.
What?
Yeah, that's what he called him here on Twitter. Twitter Actions brought to you by Scheiman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I ain't making that up.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
That's enough.
Yeah, they're...
Nas on Twitter, talent is not available, Anthony Lyman. Then he writes in all caps, a sore freaking toe. I don't think it's just a sore toe. I think it's probably a turf toe, broken toe. If you can't go, you can't go. But I'll be told I'm making excuses for the guy. And I'm holding off being that defensive because I might find out something during the offseason. Somebody might talk. It's a league that loves to talk. It's bad that I don't fully trust him.
Well, until they break through in the playoffs. Like, even that team you're playing right now, the Pacers, it was a joke, their run to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. But they did it. They got there.
I just heard, man, when I heard Kenny Atkinson in that pregame, there was no reason to hear him like this because you're beating teams by 20 during the regular season. But I didn't have a feeling that they were going to play last night. I ended up being right, and I got a serious concern for the rest of the series. He sounded to me... Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I don't think I am. He sounded to me like a guy who knows that this series is in peril. And he doesn't have his guys available. DeAndre Hunter's gone. These other guys are gone. You're talking about fouls, getting upset about fouls. And you got a bunch of fans. I mean, we're calling Indiana dirty. They're not dirty. It's a tough basketball team. They're playing playoff basketball. We just didn't see because we were playing against a team that laid down and rolled over and died for
us.
Yeah,
I mean, this is how playoffs typically work.
I don't think it's even how the playoffs have typically worked. I think that this is a different playoffs. And if we were watching Indiana and Milwaukee and we were watching the Knicks and Pistons, we would have known that this was going to be a real fight in. So it's not as dirty as we want to make it out to be. Even myself, I have to walk that back and make sure that I'm looking at this through the right prism. You're just getting shoved around. Back of the fan. I didn't even hear that. I'm getting even angrier about the bench thing. I thought I was done. I'm not done with it. I'm even angry about it.
Well, here's Donovan Mitchell once again.
All right.
Everybody can say, yeah, we had DG, Ev, and Dre out. I'm not going to go there. If they play Friday, great. We definitely use them. But if they don't, we got to be ready. Understand that we've shown we can do this. It's a tough loss, but understanding that we're also up 20, whatever. Figure out, make the adjustments, and then go in on Friday and handle business.
Okay, that's Donovan Mitchell.
You did it.
Well, I'm still mad about the bench thing because I'm getting even more angry as I think about it. I went to the bathroom, I came back, and I go, what you doing? Wait a damn minute here. And you got to understand where the fans are coming from here. You're sitting at home. You're watching the game. I wonder what the fans sitting behind him were probably thinking, but who the hell knows? Maybe they weren't noticing what was going on the bench. If you're telling me they were assing off this entire game on the bench, you got to know what your audience is. I mean, I'm serious. Know what your audience is for a second.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Understand that there are people, whether you like it or not, they live and die. Because your fan base, this is what the problem is becoming a little bit with professional sports. We are asked so many times, in fact, we are instructed to bend over backwards and understand what players are going through. Now, I don't condone DMing people threats. I don't condone cussing out people and trying to get yourself viral famous and rushing the field during a college game and sticking a camera in a guy's face. I mean, that's asinine behavior, but it's also asinine behavior for me to sit there and try to find different ways to explain why fans shouldn't be mad that a bunch of guys were goofing off on the bench. It's a bad look, and you should wear it and maybe even address it. Even say, hey, you know what? Somebody said something funny. There's no way we thought we were going to lose. We're sorry about that. We do take this seriously. We're a serious basketball team. We're trying to win. We're trying to fight our way out of this thing. And hopefully we'll get back here for a game five right back here in Cleveland, and we'll be all together on this. Is that so difficult to say? They won't address it. We'll bury the thing, and that'll be the end of it. Or we'll continue to make it. Do you have anything to say on this, or am I just ranting by myself? Because the more I think about it, I go, you know, can you put out for your fan base just a little bit? Can you do that just a little? Do we all have to just accept whatever they do is perfectly fine, and that anybody who complains about it is stuck in the past? Because the people who are mad, they're living and dying with. No, they're not going to address it. No, there's no way. I wish they would, but they won't.
We got 3 days before.
They're not going to address it. They might. I don't even think they'll be asked about it. Surely, I don't even think that's going to happen. But you got to understand why fans are mad. You're watching the game. You want them to win. You live and die with this basketball team. I forget about even the money you paid or didn't pay for it. You're fans of this team. You've let them affect you emotionally here. And you look at the bench. You're freaking out because you want to win a championship for whatever reason you may have personally as a fan. Then you look and they show the shot of the bench and they're goofing off.
I think it's just they're up 20. They thought they were going to even things up and then get their reinforcements back.
I understand that.
I think they probably had something to do with it. They're at home. The place is going crazy because the Cavs fans thought they just even up this series. There's no way Indiana's going to win. and then the unthinkable happens. One of the all-time, you know, Cleveland, we've had our history of some of the worst chokes ever, and then you can't even get the ball past half court. You can't even get the ball in bounds. You can't box out, even though lane violations are not. You can't box out guys on missed free throws. Just a cavalcade of errors down the stretch.
216-474-0092. I'm done. It ain't good. It's not a good look. Of all the other nasty things that are going on, it's not a good look. Jeff and Chesterlin, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Yeah, I agree with the outrage, so to speak. Yeah, they're dancing on the side. It sort of reminds me of when LeBron was here. The main show was on the sideline, and the game was a sideshow.
Well, that's old. That's old stuff. When they used to take the pictures on the bench and stuff like that, and then they lost to Orlando, and that was the end of all that.
Later on, they're throwing water bottles.
Yeah.
But that team was also crushing teams and disposing of them.
Hey, man, it's fun. It's all fun when you're beating teams. And like Owen said, I don't think anybody thought that they were going to sit there and lose that game yesterday, Jeff.
They're up 7 with 40-something seconds.
But Judas Priest. This is a tight moment. Everybody's watching. Everybody's focused, and they do a shot. We're goofing off. I know. Well, I sound like a goof.
The other thing is the attitude of the players. It's like third quarter, you make a great play, and you're pounding your chest. You're flexing, and the game's not over, guys. It's not over yet. Just save the celebration till when you win.
So Jeff, they aren't allowed to celebrate anything until the final buzzer.
I don't think the fans were celebrating anything until they won.
No, he's talking about the players pounding their chests after making a big play in the third quarter.
Well, you can be excited about that, but again, when you show people goofing around,
we're nitpicking on some stuff right
now. Well, of course we're nitpicking. We're mad. We're obviously mad, and I don't agree with everything.
There's a lot of other stuff to be mad about. I'd rather
like Kenny Atkinson, instead of focusing on like what guys are wearing or what guys are doing on the sideline, like how do we get the ball inbounds
in these frenetic situations?
I said I was just going to get it off my chest and that's it. It said to take him first. I took him first.
Let's make sure the guy that Anthony has twice today said had a great game, maybe his best game as a Cavalier, knows how to get the ball inbounds.
We can do all these things. They can't get the ball in. Whether they were serious on the sidelines or not, they couldn't get the ball in. But it's a four-hour show, and I'm going to highlight everything because I'm mad about it all.
I hope they stand there with their hands on their laps.
I hope
like
so,
it's
too.
Quiet time.
I hope they do, too.
Don't make a sound, boys.
I hope they are like the Bobbies in England, and you got to make them laugh, and they won't laugh. I hope it's that way. I mean, there's guys.
I hope they punch you in the mouth afterwards too.
They lost a seven. Well, I hope they don't punch me in the mouth. I'm not trying to get punched in the mouth over here. I'm being critical of it. 216-474-0092. Go back to the phones. Go to Richie in Cleveland. Oh, Richie.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. You know, it's a damn shame to win all those games during the regular season and then. You know, you're looking like you're going to get blown out here in the playoffs in the second round. And it's unfortunate that we have all those injuries to our key players. But I don't know, sometimes bad luck, you know, jumps up and bites you. But I still go back to something I told you before, Ken. We got plenty of offense, you know. I'm going to go back to we need that gangster on defense. That enforcer, that muscle in the paint, a Kendrick Perkins type of guy. Because until we advance any farther than we've been advancing, we're going to continue to be perceived as a soft team. And I said, you need that enforcer, man.
If Kendrick Perkins was to come in and swing at somebody, he's more than happy to. Because every time he opens his mouth on TV, it subtracts from the intelligence of the general populace of the NBA.
Come on, man.
He's terrible on TV. He's awful.
He's right on the money.
Richie, what does it take to sit there and rip on everything? I'm mad right now. I won't be mad tomorrow. I probably won't even be mad by 9 o'clock. Well, what's it take to sit there and rip on everything? I don't have to sit there and I can just not watch the games like he does and then rip on everything on TV. I'd rather him go in there. If you want to bring in Kendrick Perkins, go in there and sock somebody. Go right on ahead.
But Barkley gets on there and rips on everybody.
Barkley
actually
watches
it.
Barkley's sitting there watching the games. He's watching the games. I don't believe Kendrick Perkins watches the games.
All right, man. If you say so, it's your show, man.
Well, I just don't believe it. That doesn't mean that I'm doing it for a second. I gotta tell you, thank you very much for the call.
I do think, without a doubt, if there's one thing they are missing, because you saw it, the Pacers, they have Mathurin, they have Neesmith. The Cavs don't have – they had Marcus Morris last year in the playoffs, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Feels like you could use a guy like that. There are those guys, those bounty hunters, those mercenaries – you do feel like you need one of them. It doesn't have to go as crazy as like Dylan Brooks, but you got to have one. And that is one thing noticeably to me missing from this roster. Like Max Strus was doing the dirty work, but he's got to focus on getting down the floor and shooting threes. It can't be Max Strus is the guy body checking guys. Like that's great. They needed that. And you know, I thought that was one of an all time Max Strus game, but I'd like him to focus on all the other stuff that I know he can do. They do need a guy defensively that other teams are scared of.